Hey, what's happening, guys? Welcome back to The Strange Road. We got an episode of Strange Happenings coming right at you. I'm your host, Mikey, and Ross is back, baby.
Whoa.
Ross Tyson, host of What You Don't Hear podcast, and how many other podcasts? You got like five other podcasts.
We're working on 100 of them. We're at 97 right now, so we're trying to get up there, yeah.
Creative director here in Ohio, all over the Midwest, all over the country, all around, just creative force. Ross Tyson, everybody. Everybody, welcome Ross. We got the chat. Look at all those guys. They're fired up. They're beautiful. Ready to go.
Love it.
Want to give a shout out to Tom and Terry for the solar eclipse event that I went to a couple Saturdays ago. We haven't done a stream since then. The eclipse was just a magical time. That whole weekend was fantastic. But shout out to Tom and Terry. Huge event, super successful. Ran into Rebecca, the Mayan bee lady. Holy cow.
Which I was just introduced to. Yeah, so this is, yeah.
I dropped you, Disbro, Stoner the other day. Had some allergies.
Yep.
The honey is antiviral, and I got in this conversation with the and next thing you know, for the next hour and a half, I'm talking stingless bees from the Yucatan Peninsula. We're trying to get Rebecca on. Rebecca, if you're out there, it was great meeting you and everybody else. Heather Lamb, got to hang out with Heather. We kind of went on our own paths. There's a lot going on, so tried to talk to as many people as I could. Had a great time. And all of you guys listening, all you guys watching in YouTube, we appreciate each and every one of you. You're sharing, you're liking, subscribing. Keep sharing these episodes. If you listen or you're watching, hit that link, man. Hit that link. We need to share the love. We need to get the word out there.
Yep.
We've got some great stuff planned coming up. We've got a lot of big things coming up. And so we've just been working really hard, getting reorganized in a lot of ways. And also, we've been slammed with some pretty awesome gigs here lately, so we're trying to balance a lot and still bringing you guys great content. So we're going to keep at it. If you guys are still listening and watching, much love to you. Appreciate each and every one of you. I see you guys out there. Born Not to Run, appreciate the heck. Best mod in the business. Throwing out the links here for us tonight and keeping everybody updated. What's happening, all of you. This is going to be, we got a great episode. And we have Disbro and Stoner holding it down tonight in Master Control. Big shout out to those guys. There they are. Hard at work. It's really cooled off down here in Bro Zone. It was super, super hot. Then this wild storm blew through.
Real crazy storm, which I thought was the perfect setting for us to do some strange happenings tonight. Dark and stormy night.
But blew in the weird energy, yep. And it's cooled everything off.
Luckily, yes.
And it feels great. We're ready to go. Ross, what do you got coming up? You got anything cool going on?
I feel like, you know, I don't have really anything insane to really share. I feel like there's about I listed them out the other night, probably about 20 to 25 different projects that I am working on right now.
Yeah, of course.
A mixture of some personal passion projects in there and a lot of just, you know, the fun client work stuff, but genuinely just a bunch of real cool stuff, working on a new short film and all that sort of stuff. And have been in podcast mode the last month or so. So you're catching me at the perfect time. I'm ready to talk.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And luckily getting to come back here and come back on the show, we get to talk some spooky and strange stuff around the world, which is something that I no longer get to do on my side of things. I don't get to talk the strange and unusual. So I am always very, very excited whenever you hit me up and you're like, hey, want to come do the show? And I'm like, I'm checking the calendar immediately, and it's going to be a yes. I want to come back in.
Absolutely.
And jump down the strange road and talk about all the weird and crazy things and see what kind of articles that we have here tonight.
Heck yeah, man. And you're filling in for Bub, who, much love, big shout out to Bub. Bub, if you're listening, you're watching right now. Bub's on a trip with his wife and some of our friends on an epic trip. So we're holding it down here at Bro Zone for Bub. Hopefully he's safe and having a blast. I know he was kind of traveling today.
And he is... correct me if I'm wrong, he's on the epic trip you're talking about is to look for a crystal skull. He's been navigating some caves.
Oh, yeah.
Running from some giant pearl boulders. And genuinely, good luck to Bob. He's going through a lot right now. So,
hopefully he didn't jump in a portal.
We'll find out. We'll find out. You might see a lot more of me on Strange Happenings here.
You know what? The Bub's not that, he's not that ambitious. Right? he's probably laying on a beach, having a couple Coronas.
Just soaking up the sun and the nice breeze. And yes, absolutely.
Oh, man. What else we got going on? I know, when's your season starting back up?
For which?
What you don't hear.
For what you don't hear. So I just, so that's the one that's all year round.
Yeah.
But I just did complete like a new round of episodes for What You Don't Hear.
Yeah.
So those are just going to keep rolling out. I'll start the new season of the Improv Comedy Podcast. It's called Whose Life Is It Anyway? Yes, that is an absolute ode and a ripoff. So if you like improv comedy, go check that out. I do an improv podcast. About to start a new season of that.
Yeah, cool.
Here in the next month or so. So yeah, there's I've pretty much got it planned out right now. About month to month, there's a new big project that I'm taking on and diving into. So
heck yeah, man. Well, we need to collab on something.
Oh, 100%. I told you a couple ideas. I think last time I was here that I have been looking to make some time for on the calendar. So it's definitely going to happen. It's for sure going to happen.
Oh yeah.
And at this point, it nearly has to. I would say.
Yeah.
It's not just maybe. It's a we got to at this point.
2024 is one of those, I think, time for action.
Yes.
Like, you got to get after it.
Yep.
100%. That's what it's felt like.
Yep. I don't want. There's a lot of ideas I don't want to sit on.
Right.
Anymore. So right. It's time to put some action behind this thing. So yeah, 100%.
One last quick shout out. Go follow Necromechanimal on Instagram at Necromechanimal. Go check out all the artwork he's been doing for us for well over a year now. We appreciate the hell out of him. And with that said, let's jump right in.
Let's do it. Let's look at some articles here. I'm diving in fresh here because I didn't look at anything ahead of time.
I
love when I can kind of go in.
No.
Honestly, most of the time I don't do detective work before a podcast. Like I don't really, I kind of like to just take things as they show up and just be like, oh, okay, let's dive in cold.
I dig it. I'm all about it. That's usually how Bub treats every podcast as well. Coming in, especially the interview episodes. I keep him in the dark purposely on a lot of things, but he's fairly unaware of what's about to happen most of the time.
Yeah, I love finding out in real time with everybody else, our lovely audience here. So.
Yeah, yeah. This first article is Coast to Coast AM, and it's March 26, 2024. And this is actually a video that we have, and this is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but this craft, and who knows? I just like these internet videos. We've covered a bunch that are 100%. Probably garbage. We've covered fake mermaids over, but these are interesting nonetheless. This one definitely is. A peculiar piece of footage from Brazil shows a glowing diamond-shaped UFO hovering motionless in the sky over a city. The strange sighting is believed to have occurred earlier this month in the city of São Paulo, and a video of the weird incident popped up online last week. Here it is. Beyond the location, there is little more information surrounding the event. Be that it may, the footage is rather fantastic. In this video, a pair of eyewitnesses watch the weirdly shaped object in the sky and understandably wonder what it is they are seeing. What is it? Asked one of the observers, marveling at it stopped there in the sky. He goes on to the note, there's no hotel where the UFO can be seen, which would seem to preclude the possibility that it might simply be a light from a building. So there's no building structure. There's nothing in front of them. There's no tower or anything that would appear to. But here at the end of this video, it kind of zooms in here. There it is.
Okay.
And again, untrained camera operator on a cell phone.
Always.
There's not much you're going to be able to, you know, in terms of quality or it's just a cool video. Not sure if you guys have seen this. Thought we would share it. You guys in the chat and everywhere else, throw us the comments what you think.
Now, does it move? Does it fly away or anything at some point?
It seems to be just hovering.
Just there? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then the video just ends without us seeing where it ends up going.
Right.
Okay.
And then it just kind of ends. And this guy's got 34,000 subscribers.
This channel?
Yeah.
From this video?
I would imagine.
Okay. Yeah.
I would imagine. It doesn't seem like he's got a whole lot of big production behind him.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's not a local filmmaker from somewhere posting this. And
it's interesting.
Yeah, that zoom in is pretty cool.
It's got some shape almost like reflective, like where those highlights are.
Yep.
So it's either reflecting off of something or it's glowing just on the outside. And the center is a bit darker. When it zooms in, the next time it goes in there, maybe we can just hit pause on the zoom in when it's pushed in there.
Yeah, I do like that you can see some texture in it. It's
right.
Not just a glowing orb in the sky.
Yeah, it's definitely diamond shaped. I mean, you can definitely make that out. Here's it zooming in, coming in here. You just want to hit times or fast forward. couple notches. No. There it comes. And then he pops it in here. Okay, hit pause there. There we go. There we go.
Okay.
So right in the center is this kind of... So is it glowing on the outside? Is it just a reflective? Like, is it just a... But what would be reflecting off of it?
Yeah, I know. That's the...
If it was metal.
Right. That is the strange thing. It's like, yes, if that is a metallic object, what exactly is making it glow that much?
It does seem in the middle rounded. Of the night. A little bit rounded on the bottom.
Yep.
So there you go. Brazil, over São Paulo, Brazil. UFO sighting. And there's still a lot of videos that are popping up from the military, from, you know, this whole thing hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
It's just not hitting, bam, mainstream media and news like when the Grush congressional hearings and some of that stuff broke out.
Right.
You know, so we're still keeping an eye on. And one of those stories, the UAP Register. So the UAP Register, this is Dustin Slaughter. Is the next article here, and this is from late March. And so the UAP Register is suing the Air Force and National Air and Space Intelligence Center for UAP videos. So the U.S. Air Force has historically been resistant to transparency around the issue of unidentified anomalous phenomenon, or UFOs, as Christopher Mellon, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence and current UAP transparency advocate, wrote in a compelling 2022 analysis titled, Why is the U.S. Air Force AWOL on the UAP, issue? Today, the UAP Register started pushing for greater transparency from the Air Force on this issue. That's why we initiated a lawsuit in federal court against the USAF after the National Air and Space Intelligence Center and stonewalled for our FOIA request for nearly 1 year. Our objective is to obtain high-quality military videos capturing unidentified anomalous phenomena and share them with the public. You can read the complaint is below. So you have in this document, the plaintiff is Michael Slaughter. This is an action brought and pursuant in the Freedom of Information Act. It's USC Section 522. Through the FOIA, plaintiff seeks information pertaining to aerial phenomenon, unidentified aerospace phenomenon, flying objects, unidentified unmanned aerial systems and vehicles. And so the UAPR is bringing this action in part due to the fact that Congress requires NASIC to collect UAP data. So that's some stuff that, you know, Grush was tied into as well.
Yeah.
You know, those programs, the UAP task force supposedly ended in 2022. It definitely did not end. The chief scientist is the former aerospace engineer, he's the guy, he's always on the History Channel. He's kind of like a TV personality, former NASA. He's on the Skinwalker Ranch series that's on History, where he's one of the guys researching Skinwalker Ranch and all the weird phenomenon going out there.
Yeah.
In season four, they all just realized, Travis Barker, and they just all realized that for 2 years while he was out there on Skinwalker Ranch, he was secretly the head scientist of the UAP task force. And really? they showed it on air, and they all, and the Brandon Fugel is the gentleman that owns Skinwalker Ranch now. So Skinwalker Ranch used to be owned by Bob Bigelow, who is another aerospace, military and industrial complex contractor, basically. Bob Bigelow is a billionaire, and he started NIDS, National Research for basically defense applications. So he was getting all this government money studying Skinwalker Ranch and this other weird place in Nevada. And he was, for 10 years, they researched this place. So Brandon Fugel buys it. The History Channel starts documenting this whole new research. And Travis, the NASA engineer, and the turns out he's has been secretly working.
Interesting.
With the UAP task force. They have the head of the UAP task force on the show. And, yeah. And they're just like, okay, so now you have two government, and then there's black helicopters flying around. It's like, of course, you have a former CIA agent, which is a part of the Beyond Skinwalker Ranch show, where they go out and try to find other places like Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
And that guy is the Andy Buscemati, who is on all these different podcasts right now.
Okay.
Was a CIA operative, was an agent. And so it's just interesting.
Was there anything new or different? And this, I know this is not pertaining to the article. Was there anything like new or different that has actually come out about Skinwalker Ranch?
Well,
like,
yeah,
since all the past like old stories.
So here's the thing with that show. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to a Mi'kmaq elder about this because he's very, very skeptical, my friend. And he's because it's on TV, you really have to raise an eye.
That's kind of, yeah.
Now, when you listen to Brandon Fugel talk about it, the History Channel approached him, Prometheus Entertainment. They're the ones that produce Ancient Aliens and
that checks out.
All those shows,
yeah.
Right? And so they approached Brandon Fugel and he's like, we're not going to make TV. You're just going to document what's – I'm already doing this investigation.
Okay.
And, you know, the show, I think, hooked him up with – Travis gave him a lot of credibility to the show. And so they started – what they're doing out there is just like blasting rockets up into these zones where they know are super weird phenomena happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff where they're flying drones around and the GPS data will show the drone is way over here across the mesa, that the drone's like 25, 30 feet below ground.
Okay.
So the GPS data comes back. They get all these anomalous readings and they start blowing up rockets into these spots. And then they start recording these weird frequencies, this 1.6 gigahertz frequency, which is really only used for interstellar space communication.
Okay.
Is essentially like nobody would be using this frequency, but they have this frequency pop up and they're measuring it and it's right there. So they're what seems to be almost like a portal. Is what they're actually uncovering and able to. They've shot LIDAR into this anomalous spot.
Yeah.
They've flown helicopters around it where the helicopters start swaying and moving. You got to watch it. Hmm. But again, it's TV. I don't know.
It's hard for, it's hard when there's something like that. Like I trust more just, you know, something random on the internet than I do a TV show anymore. And especially with something like Skinwalker Ranch, at one point in time, heavily fascinated me. And then I feel like,
yeah,
it just sort of was a thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's not really – and not that I like need there to be some crazy like, hey, we found 77 alien bodies here. You know, nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I hadn't been necessarily keeping up with what new was happening. I'm certainly – I don't even have TV. So
big investigation for 4-5 years now they've been out there.
Okay.
It's in season 4.
Interesting.
And then they have Beyond Skinwalker Ranch, which is, again, they go out – each episode is where they go to the Bridgewater Triangle is an episode. They go to Stardust Ranch, a couple other ranches that – guess what? The 1.6 gigahertz frequency shows up in some of these places.
Hmm. Okay.
And they That's measure cool. it where there's all these anomalous activities where they have cryptids.
Yeah.
They have poltergeists. They have ghosts. They have all kinds like dogmen, Bigfoot, UFO sightings where they come in and out of existence and then they're just gone.
Yeah.
In Skinwalker Ranch, there's a video. You can find it. I know that video is online. But basically, they shoot a UAP going into the mesa and then coming out at the bottom of the mesa. You see the craft just kind of magically appear. It disappears into the, I'm not talking behind it either.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes into it. It's like, are they spending a lot of money faking every single UAP they capture in the show?
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
They're capturing so much stuff. If it's real.
That's cool.
In the show and, you know, what they're doing is legitimate, but, you know, it's... Again,
right.
on TV. Who knows?
I know.
I want it to be real.
Of course.
I want there to be a portal out there.
It is the classic, all of these things I want to believe. That is, it's the classic thing. Sorry to trail us off.
Oh, there. No, not at all.
Anyway, yes.
But this all has stuff to do with that because all of these guys are getting into you know, secretly working on these projects. Mm-hmm. And the point is that they're highly interested. The UAP task force, which Travis from Skinwalker Ranch was the chief scientist, supposedly it disbanded. They had the guy on the show that was his boss, and he was out there blown away by the stuff that they were capturing.
Mm-hmm.
And their backgrounds are, you know, he's – and who knows however many programs there are that are running – all kinds of different research
programs. I mean, yeah.
And
yeah.
The private organizations, you know, Boeing and Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yep.
Which, by the way, we're still waiting for all these groups to turn in. Supposedly, they all have recovered craft. And, you know, they gave them an ultimatum. Congress said, you're going to turn in all of your recovered parts. And if you have biologics or if you're holding on to anything, you need to turn this into the government right now or else.
When's the deadline?
That was it. Away. Nobody ever talked about that again.
I should have just set it on tax day, so that way everyone just takes care of everything at once.
Yeah.
Hey, your deadline to turn in your UAPs or your bodies or anything like that, tax day. You're not going to forget it.
Yeah. Okay, so we got fiscal year 2022. The Intelligence Authorization Act mandates that the Director of the National Intelligence and Secretary of Defense require each intelligence community element and the Department of Defense to make data relating to unidentified aerial phenomena available immediately to the UAP Task Force and the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, which that's who Grush worked for, I believe. Some of this data includes the video footage of anomalous phenomena. The lawsuit against the USAF follows another case we filed last year against the National Oceanic and Atmospheric. NOAA has UAP information, apparently, for its failure. I think we did cover that last year. Its failure to turn over records related to UAPs. It makes sense. That litigation is likely nearing a conclusion. We will continue to aggressively pursue access to UAP information that belongs to the public. The UAP Register remains committed to maintaining a free subscription model. And, you know, hey, get at it. The more court documents there are, the more pressure is.
Yeah.
You know, if you admit little things, and the Pentagon still denies that any of this is going on officially.
Right.
Although you have, there's so many huge organizations within the government.
Yeah.
Like, they're all bloated bureaucrats, essentially, mm-hmm. bureaucratic organizations where, you know, this group doesn't know exactly what this group's doing. And,
yeah.
And even within one part, the DOJ, the DOD, you know, aspects of the Pentagon, it's like,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
you could go down the line and sue probably 25 different groups.
Right.
For UAP data.
Yep.
And they would all have something.
Yep.
Maybe. There you go. This next one, this is a shout out to VJ, our guest. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. He hails from Tamil Nadu, India. And so I found this article. VJ sent me this actually. And, this is from VP Raghu. UFO visits near key nuclear installations in Tamil Nadu, baffles experts. So, claiming that UFOs were spotted in the sky covering the Kundakalam in Trinoveli district last year, UFO tracker Sabir Hussein here said that the unidentified objects are mysteriously showing up in and around locations where nuclear power plants are set up. In July last year, a retired DGP had claimed to have spotted a UFO on the Nilankiari Mahabalapuram seacoast, and the Kalapkam, home to nuclear energy plant, is not far from the coast. The Kudukam is too has a nuclear plant as well. Sabir Hussein said that a sub-inspector named Syed Abul Kader, attached to the technical wing of the Trinoveli SP office, had spotted a UFO and had taken two videos of the flying object. This incident happened just 10 days after former DGP Prateep took pictures of the UFO on the Mukada seashore near Chennai. So Saeed, an engineer graduate, has seen UFOs more than 10 times in the area since August of 2023. So that's a decent amount. That's not really that long ago.
No. No, are the videos in this article by chance?
So that's what I thought there was. There were photos. No, not that one.
Yeah, or at least some photos.
I thought there was photos. Those words are very, very hard to read.
Those were, yeah. Didn't the last time I was on, I feel like we made a code word for names you couldn't say. Yeah. Or something. Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
We totally did. I don't know
what the made up name was for anybody who you weren't sure how to pronounce it. So
they're showing up at temple areas as well. They're showing up and, you know, just interesting. And the chief ministers, all these people are raising issues with the government. So it's not just here in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been tons of times where there's been surveys of our nukes. Many, right. Many stories. So Rendlesham Forest is another one in the UK.
My question whenever I see anything about stories of like, you know, UFOs spotted around nuclear power plants, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
My question is, like, I want to know your thought or what you have read or learned. Why is that? Why would there be? Because I know some people are like, oh well, you know, they're flying around these locations because they're watching us to make sure we're not going to destroy ourselves and blah blah. Which right. If I'm being honest, kind of think of is a bit of a silly thought. Like to think that we are so precious that these otherworldly beings are not doing anything but just kind of watching our nuclear power plants to see what we're going to do with it. Like that's a bit of a weird, unless ultimately, you know, we go down the classic rabbit hole of like we're a science experiment for all of them and they're taking a look. But whenever I hear that, I'm like, do we really like, and I'm not saying I don't agree with it, but I'm like, do we really think that we are so precious that they're flying around our nuclear power plants to make sure we're not going to do anything? Like, I don't know what. That has always kind of lost me a little bit. But like, unless it's something.
But if we had Rise of the Planet of the Apes here and a bunch of apes started making weapons and guns.
That's true.
That would be concerning for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're more highly evolved than we are. Maybe they are past the point where they got past the point where they learned how to use nuclear energy without blowing themselves up.
Right. Right.
So these type A civilizations might only be able to get there if they hadn't blown themselves up in the process where we are right now.
Yeah.
That's just a theory of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Is you can take this turn in the road, this turn in the road. If we go this way and there's World War III, nuclear holocaust, this is a big thing right now. People are worried about nuclear war.
Right.
It's scary as hell. I mean, you know, my mom was a kid. They used to duck and cover underneath their desks.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's how real it was even in the 80s, you know, all through the 80s when I was really little, you heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they would be interested in our nuclear facilities.
Yeah.
The stories of them beaming lasers, craft beaming lasers into, and then all of a sudden the whole nuke system shuts down. They lose power. You know, there's stories like that. Rendlesham Forest is a big one, probably one of the most well-known, where there were American military stationed at this base in the UK. So you had UK officers from the US, the captain all the way up to probably, I think it was the colonel had got woke up in the middle of the night and brought out, this happened multiple nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, they had to get the captain out there because this thing's flying around shooting beams into their nuke facilities.
Interesting.
And that's just one of the stories. Yeah. There's New Mexico. I want to say, what's that secret laboratory? Los Alamos, one of those where, you know, they're always, I think they would be. And then also, by the way, 1947, mm-hmm. 1946, this is the time where they all started showing, what were we doing then? Testing nuclear bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
Out in the desert, in New Mexico, all over the place in Nevada.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we have Roswell. We have all of these different stories of flying saucers and UFOs.
Right.
All so start happening around that time.
So do you think it's like it's more of like a study thing than it is a great protector thing?
Well, yeah, there's so many different things where it's like, are they here to look out for our best interest to maybe make sure that we don't blow ourselves up?
Right.
Or are there other ETs out there that are here to kind of steer us in this warring direction? Because you hear it's like, you know, like Tom DeLonge, he talks about aliens being corrupt and evil, and they're going to start wars, and it's like this scary tact. It's like a scare tactic almost. Right, so whatever information he's being fed of, using fake alien invasions, but that kind of stuff is. So I tend to think that there could be some groups out there that don't want us to blow ourselves up.
Right. Which would be, hey, it'd be nice if there's someone more intelligent or more powerful than us human beings who are maybe going to be able to control some of that or steer us in a different direction. But,
and our Mega Melder friend, he told me a long time ago when I met him that a lot of these beings are us from the future.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot now.
Yes. Yes.
It's weird.
Yeah.
People talk about this quite a bit, that these are us from the remote future. Mm-hmm. And they've come back to make sure that we don't blow ourselves up or, destroy the planet in some way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they were hostile. They would have attacked us a long time ago.
I would.
Like Mars attacks.
Yeah. I know. They're not just going to secretly float around and just sort of sit.
Monitor and us, hang out.
Yeah, I don't. That's a lot to monitor and a long time to monitor before you make a move. I don't know if there's necessarily a perfect time for them to strike necessarily. I don't know what that would even entail at all. But, or maybe it's a War of the World situation where they're waiting for the water to dry up.
Oh, so they know. Right.
Got a signs thing going on here, the water. Too bad for them. So maybe they're just waiting for that moment to strike. So if anything, folks, let's keep the water around. So keep the aliens at bay.
Yep. This is good. So, all over reported incidents in Tamil Nadu. So big shout out to VJ. Thanks for sending that to me, buddy. I want to see the videos though. I could have sworn that
would have been cool.
A link in here, but it's a screenshot of the video. So in here,
if there's
not great
a visual
DT next, link the video. That'd be great.
Now that is the classic blurry orb.
Yeah,
we can see there.
Mm-hmm.
Not as clear as the last video we watched.
No, not great.
But it's something.
All right, we're gonna keep going with the UFO UAP theme here for tonight.
Do it.
I really wanted to, because for me, I wanted to get updated on everything that was going on.
So yeah, yeah.
I was kind of digging in, and one article led me to another. This is Anthony Brasilia's UFO Explorations website. The U.S. has recovered a UFO, says Defense Department engineering manager. This is from early April 2024. A top-level engineer formerly managed major technical programs of the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency has recently related that the U.S. government has retrieved and studied a craft of unknown origin. He describes the vehicle and considers its purpose. His revelations appear to be corroborated by a Freedom of Information Act requested by the DIA by this author that sought UFO debris analysis reports believed to have been conducted by an aerospace company under contract to the DIA. We were just talking about that. The engineering manager was subsequently squeezed out of his role when religious fundamentalists working within the Department of Defense became uncomfortable with this, with his work on UFOs.
What?
Viewing it as demonic. That is another big thing right now, is the demon connection with aliens.
Yeah.
We had Karen Wilkinson on. And she's a UFO abductee.
Yeah.
Karen, she sent us a book, Stolen Seed, Evil Harvest, Stolen Seed. And her story is that there's this faction of these beings that are, stealing genetic material, that they're these kind of robot-y, soulless. It's not that they're evil as far as like mean or it's just that they don't have any. So they're like almost soulless.
Yeah.
But they're working for these entities that are kind of higher evolved beings that she reports in her experiences, to where they're the ones that are kind of in charge.
Okay.
And they're just not nice.
Yeah.
So you hear this demonic connection with aliens nowadays.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Right.
It's not something that I heard about in the 90s or in the 2000s looking into this stuff.
No.
It seems to be a pretty – I could be wrong.
That's also wild that there was enough – that had enough ground to stand on that someone else
relates
else
all with the fallen angels, the Nephilim, the biblical stories. And the fallen angels are the aliens. That's a lot of people think that.
Right.
The fallen angels of the Nephilim are this – they're part of the genetics – of these fallen angels that are like these modern day ETs. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us have that DNA, according to some of these people that believe this. I don't know. The word's out on that. All those old stories in the Bible about fallen angels and giants and is super, super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long ago was that a story before it was written down?
Mm-hmm.
How far back does that go?
Yep.
Could those stories be from before the flood? Could they be, before Abrahamic times?
I mean, and that just, that web spreads into, you know, Chariots of Fire and Chariots yes. of the Gods and, you know, all these sort of things. Right. I mean, where do those come from?
Ezekiel. You
know, yes.
Dude,
yes.
Read the actual, I read the, you hear about this song, Ezekiel saw the wheel, mm-hmm. you know, the gospel song. It's great. But if you go in and read that description, it's 100% mechanical.
Right.
It's talking about mechanisms.
Yep.
Now, there are words that he kind of uses that there's just no word for back then because you don't really see technology.
You're not seeing technology. No. You see a light, you're going to say fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know how we got on that subject from...
well, it was the person on that team who got someone else pushed out
yes.
based off of their religious
yes.
being uncomfortable.
Thank you.
And
His work on UFOs, viewing it as demonic. So right. Dr. James Latosky was the DIA's program manager, contracting officer, and security coordinator for $22 million U.S. government UFO research study, the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Start strapping nukes to these UAPs and see what happens.
Perfect.
Of course, they're always going to militarize technology that's being developed. Somehow they're going to put it on a weapon system to make it more efficient, whether it's, it's all going into, tools for war.
Yep.
So they had a mission of UFO sightings compilation and analysis, review of the technical aspects of UFO travel, threat potential assessment, and the examination of UFOs and human effects. Lukatsky, a noted rocket scientist, was with the U.S. Department of Defense for decades. He holds a bachelor's degree, master's degree, and a degree in engineering and nuclear engineering with a world-recognized expertise in fusion plasmas and directed energy systems. Hello. Lukatsky was very close to the late Senator Harry Reid, who helped secure the funding for an in-depth UAP study that Lukatsky led. Lukatsky, who was also very close to Robert Bigelow, the CEO of private sector defense and aerospace contractor Bigelow Aerospace, whom Lukatsky assigned several contracts for the study, who also, by the way, was the former owner of Skinwalker Ranch
mm-hmm.
and the former owner of the other weird ranch that's in Nevada that does a lot of the same things. NIDS was studying both of those properties at the same time so they could bounce data sets off of another controlled area.
Yeah.
And they were picking up and finding almost the same things, a lot of similar paranormal activity. So the DIA is our nation's premier military intelligence organization. It does not belong to a single military element or within a traditional chain of – I didn't know that. Instead, answering to the Secretary of Defense directly through the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence of the Defense Department, the DOD. Retired from government service, Lukatsky has now quietly come forward to produce an independently published book entitled Inside the U.S. Government Cover-Up UFO Program, Initial Revelations. I'll throw that in book club on Discord, guys. I'm interesting. Within the book and repeated on the book's back cover, Lukatsky makes the astounding admission that he is personally aware of an alien craft recovered by the government. He describes it thusly: the United States is in possession of a craft of unknown origin and has successfully gained access to its interior. Interesting. This craft had a streamlined configuration suitable for aerodynamic flight, but no intakes, no exhaust or wings or control surfaces. In fact, it appeared to have no engine, fuel tank, or fuel. He confirms that there is much remains that is unknown about it. What is the purpose of this craft? Was it a life support craft used only for atmospheric reentry or what? If it was a spacecraft, then how did it operate? He mentions that he has met with government officials in the Capitol building about this, including an unnamed U.S. senator and an agency undersecretary. I bet you I know who that is. What's his name? The Republican that kind of head up the whole Grush congressional hearing is probably his name's slipping my mind. Somebody in the chat might remember. Lukaski goes no further in his statement on recovered craft, but does indicate that his book is a part of planned series. It is hoped that he will then offer more details and he will appear before the AARO. Or before its members of Congress engage in UFO investigations to offer his sworn testimony. Concerns for national security no doubt will be balanced against Lukaski's obligation to truth and to history. The bulk of the book relates to space travel theory and observed UFO flight characteristics. He's making sparse but unambiguous statements relating to an actual UFO possessed by the government, which stands out. He implies in his book that the UAP deep technical work was sometimes conducted under the guise of advanced aerospace research and development activities. Some of the DIA study group documents that Lukaski reviewed and approved when they were selectively released as DIRDS, or Defense Intelligence Reference Documents. And so they related exotic topics like anti-gravity, traversable wormholes, manipulation, extra dimensions, materials of construction. By the way, out there on Skinwalker Ranch, they blew this rocket up into this anomaly zone that they've been for years throwing LIDAR at it. Like I said, they're starting to – and these rockets would go like this and just change direction.
Really?
30 feet above the ground, over and over again, send up a rocket. This time, this rocket goes right up into it. You guys can, I don't know if there's a clip online. I could post it in the Discord if I can find it. But just watch that show. It's on Hulu. It's, if you have Disney Plus, Hulu's integrated to that now.
Okay.
But it's a lot of History Channel shows, Ancient Aliens, those are all in there. And then, so this third rocket, they takes off and the thing just, boom! The rocket blows up. Now, you know, as a video guy, when you send a fog machine with light up into something, what does it do? It illuminates the sky.
Yeah.
It illuminates this strange, almost mushroom, like a vortex, essentially.
Really?
So then they have all this GPR data, and the GPR data looks like a cone. Like this, it literally looks like a wormhole, dude.
That's wild.
It's so strange.
That's wild.
And they have all of this data that they're just like, hey, we're not saying it's a wormhole, but what else could it be at this point?
Yeah.
And they have a video because they went out and got this super high-speed camera. Like, I would love to go out and buy one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 frames per second, and that's what captured this thing. Hmm. This anomaly for the first time they could actually see it because the smoke of the rocket with the light of the rocket pushed that smoke, and it's like shining a laser through a fogger at a concert.
Right.
You know, if you've ever been to a Tool show, they have the laser show, they make it seem 3D because they have so much fog and smoke that they're piping up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when the lasers all move, it gives this like 3D, it has texture almost.
Yep.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
And they were able to capture this thing. But traversable wormholes, that's what they're discovering out there.
The other thing that caught my attention in that is you said that they had finally, I think it was something along the lines of like gained access to the interior.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, how long were they trying to gain access to it and how difficult was it?
Were they trying to take a plasma cutter and open the thing up?
It's just not working. Like, is it one of those classic like UFO cases where the metal or whatever it is can't be damaged? Like that's,
you know what it reminds me of? Flight of the Navigator. You ever seen Flight of the Navigator?
Mm-mm.
Old school UFO, ET, with this kid, basically, it's a robot AI that's running this ship. And this kid stumbles across this craft, but they can't figure out how to get into it. There's no door. There's literally no weld marks around the whole thing. It's completely smooth. There you go. I'm sure somebody shouted out. And so the door all of a sudden just opens for the kid.
Okay.
And there's no seam. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And it just, this thing can kind of like polymorph, like, you know, like Terminator.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, it creates this, you know, liquid effect almost.
Yep.
That's what this reminds me of.
That's, yep. 100%.
Flight of the Navigator, 1984. If you haven't seen it, you should go check it out.
Love that.
It's a classic. Yeah, there's a lot more here. But again, saw no motors or engines, no fuel tank.
Yeah. That's cool.
What could possibly be powering this?
Yeah.
There's no fuel because we don't think of, we're thinking physics, like you need an explosion to push something forward. This is a whole different type of.
Yep.
Completely different. So they unwittingly released, the DIA released stunning FOIA documents that requested the author, they made about UFO debris and analysis. And apparently the government contractors have vastly gone through this, this analysis and all of this data that they've been capturing. So, and Latsky's name is all over these documents. So in this FOIA request, this guy's got some credibility.
Right.
His name's in the FOIA documents.
Hmm.
So he's coming out here, and I don't know if you want to call him a whistleblower, but that's what it seems like to me. In 2017, a FOIA request was made to the DIA asking for physical descriptions, properties, and composition of UFO material, UAP material held by the government and its contractor, Bigelow Aerospace. Well, Robert Bigelow pops up again. Lukaski dedicates his book to Bigelow. The request was made based on a well-known series of articles appearing in the New York Times that a year mentioning the AAWAP and the ATIP. That was the 2017 article that happened on Thanksgiving that just kind of got brushed. Like nobody talked about that.
Yeah.
I was at my Thanksgiving party freaking out. And my uncle's like, oh, crazy Mikey's at it again, talking about weird shit, you know? And that's where you can kind of go back. That's when they first talked about the Tic Tac video. They talked about, you know, a lot of those videos that then got released was after that New York Times article. So in the reply, they received over 3.5 years of requested documents, and the DIA agreed that it has that the documents responsive to the request on UFO debris and its analysis, the program. So Bigelow Aerospace was the one storing the material, according to these guys. So when they made the FOIA request, Bigelow is the one that had it. Yeah. So he ended up giving it to him. They provided some reports related to possible applications of studied material. The reply consists of 154 pages of technical data on metamaterials, end quote. Metamaterial is coined in relatively recent word, is believed to be any material engineered to have property that is not found in naturally occurring materials. Some of these materials appear to be made from assemblies of multiple elements fashioned from composite materials such as metals and plastics. These are composite – I think Bob Lazar talks about almost like ceramic metal, that these metals are made in a kiln.
Interesting.
So they're like baked,
yeah.
If you want to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Which is just like, huh?
Right.
That's a metamaterial. That's a good example of a metamaterial. And so these metamaterials have a unique electromagnetic property made up of sub-wavelength building blocks, most often based on metals. These metamaterials can, as an example, allow for extreme control over light energy and optical fields, enabling such effects as negative refraction to be realized. Not sure what that means. The materials discussed in the documents with the FOIA reply on UFO debris refer to those exotic properties that they exhibit shape recovery, which we've heard stories about that, where you crumple up these very – and then they just pop back out, right?
Yeah, that's what I was – we were talking about that earlier.
So such as found in Roswell, New Mexico, they can change the speed of light, huh? Okay. And it can create invisibility. So cloaking mechanism that can compress, and it also compresses electromagnetic energy. Oh my God, bro.
Cloaking stuff makes sense.
This is wild. This is cool because it's a lot of technical stuff. It's just data.
Yeah.
You know, Grush, some people discredit Grush by saying, well, he never actually said it. He's never actually saw anything. He refers to his contacts. I know that these things are real because of XYZ example of that someone told me. That's a big thing right now with Grush's story is it's a lot of secondhand things that, and who knows if maybe there's somebody behind the scenes misleading him.
Right.
And giving him wrong information.
Yeah.
But according to him, they're trusted, credible sources. So go check out this. It goes on talking about UFOs and demons, Lukaski and dirt efforts by religious zealots to inflict professional ruin on him because the data he was gathering was a threat to their belief system. It appears that a peculiar element of the far religious right has somehow placed themselves in key government military and intelligence agencies that enable them to do this. Yeah, the family. That's a great example in that the element did not like his findings. And tried to destroy his career because they found they find UFOs and their occupants to be demonic in nature. In November 1st, 2018, Interpost, former ATIP UFO program manager Luis Elizondo writes referring to his predecessor Lukaski. The UAP has even been associated with demons and anti-Judeo-Christian beliefs. I experienced this firsthand during my time working as U.S. Government Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP, where certain senior government officials thought our collection of facts on UAP was dangerous to their philosophical beliefs. In fact, my ATIP predecessor's career was ruined because of misplaced fear by the elite few. So Luis Elizondo has been on record talking about Lukaski as well. So
yeah,
that's interesting.
It's wild to me that you can just be like, hey, that's too scary for what I believe. Get out of here.
Yep.
We're not going to push it anymore.
Those groups are very powerful.
Yeah.
The evangelicals, you know, they have a lot of sway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people think they put Reagan in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, single-handedly.
Yeah. Right.
It's interesting. It's wild. There's still things like this that are coming out. You know, we just got to keep our eye out, keep our ear to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And this article keeps going. You guys should totally – we're going to post that book. And, you know, there's a couple UFO – I'm still trying to finish the audio book Cosmic, and then another one that's – there's just a lot of books being written right now on the subject.
Yep.
So many. You can't keep up with it.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to be – I want to look into other stuff as well. Graham Hancock just had his debate with a mainstream archaeologist. If you guys haven't seen that, I've been listening to that on hey, Burton, thank you so much, man. Sorry, I was in the zone. I didn't see that super chat. Let's see here. That was a stick flight of the, yes. Sick flight of the Navigator reference. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Burton. Mm-hmm. Appreciate all you guys. I know we've talked about Flight of the Navigator before. I know Bub's definitely seen it. Anyhow, yeah. Keep your ear to the ground, man. Cause there's stuff right now in 2024. You know, Diddy was a whole thing, and then all of a sudden that just completely disappeared.
Yeah.
So you got to be on your toes.
It's literally just, there's something every single day, and then the next day there's something else. And
Homeland
the next
Security
day,
is ransacking Diddy's mansions in Miami and in L.A. What were they doing? No idea.
For every UFO video, the next day there is a
Hollywood
celebrity conspiracy of look at Katy Perry's eye twitching during her show and she resets herself and she's a lizard robot thing. So, there's always something. There's always something.
Yep.
So yeah, ear to the ground and dare I say, eye to the sky.
Yes.
To say.
Absolutely. I was going to look up real quick who that archaeologist Hancock was debating today. Flint Dibble. So that Hancock's, sounds made up. Yeah, it's a real guy, real name for sure. Flint Dibble's been, you know, he's been writing a lot over the years. You know, really trying to, and he's got a lot of great points and a ton of great information from everything. He's very knowledgeable, this Flint Dibble. But you know, Graham's kind of going back and forth with him mainly about how they've used his work to kind of trash him through the media and to discredit his ideas and, you know, calling him a racist and some of the things that are going on. And we got kind of pulled into a little bit of that during when his show Ancient Apocalypse came out. Mm-hmm. One of our guests, Jeffrey Wilson, was on his show on episode 6 talking about Serpent Mound, where he got blocked from Ohio History Connection, wouldn't let him in the park. At Serpent Mound. So this is a big thing, kind of blew up.
Okay.
And I haven't finished the episode, but Jeffrey let me know that Graham hit him up to use some of the things that's happened to Jeffrey with his new book coming out and some controversies that have been happening in Jeffrey's Facebook group pertaining to his book, Ancient Monuments of the Mississippi Valley, because he's connected with Graham. It's okay. So convoluted the way that they use different people to discredit another person,
yeah,
based off of, and no one's ever read Jeffrey's book. They don't actually read the stuff that Graham, most of the stuff that he puts out, I would be shocked.
Right.
And so Graham hit up Jeffrey to see if he, and he had like 250 slides to go on the Joe Rogan podcast. It's like, it's a podcast.
Right.
You can't really sit there, and Flint Dibble had his whole slide deck as well. And there's like, hey, taking the HDMI cord back and forth. Like, hey, I want to show you this. Oh, but how do you have that debate with each person has 250 slides? And it was, I don't know. It's a rough thing to try to prove one person or the other is correct. Yeah.
I also see that somebody in the chat does agree that Flint Dibble sounds like a completely made up name. So yes, absolutely fake. Yeah, that's interesting.
But, you know, a lot of controversy that's been going on with Graham Hancock forever. Finally, somebody actually is debating him, mm-hmm, because he's been turned down and denied for years and years and years to be debated about this idea of a lost civilization.
Yeah.
Pre-flood. Okay. Antediluvian, before a flood and the cataclysm came. And the remnants of that civilization handed down astronomy and how to build temples to essentially hunter-gatherers. That's, mm-hmm, his main hypothesis, Graham Hancock.
And is that the core of a just a quick summary of like what are they debating?
They're debating that there's no evidence at all for an ancient civilization before during the Ice Age, before the Ice Age.
Gotcha.
Okay. He doesn't buy into the Younger Dryas impact theory, which is the theory, mm-hmm, that comet hit the North American ice shelf and flooded. It's kind of basically the Great Flood myth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're trying to uncover the Badlands, you know, places where these huge valleys have been dug out really rapidly, super, super fast, where massive amounts of water had to have come from somewhere, mm-hmm, to be able to carve these. So
yep,
that's Randall Carlson's work. You know, it's really hard to present those facts on each side in a podcast debate. Like the format was just, you guys will have to watch it. Let me know what you think.
Strange.
I think having a platform where they sit up on a stage and just debate ideas like old school, you, mm-hmm, know, like politicians in a podcast form. I don't know how well it works.
Yeah. I don't know how well that would. Yeah. I don't know.
Cause you end up just kind of bickering and arguing and I don't know.
I feel like there's gotta be a little structure there.
Yeah.
To something like that, you got to have some foundational elements in place for an actual debate and not just a roundtable discussion in which a couple of people are maybe going to be talking over each other.
They did do a good job of going back and forth.
Okay.
So far, eventually they did a better job, but they always get personal. It gets personal.
Of course.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's hop into this final one here. This is the Guardian. And this is scientists link elusive human group to 150,000-year-old Chinese dragon man. And look at that. Here's a clay recreation.
A dragon man.
Yeah, if you scroll down just a hair there, you'll be able to see this photo, preliminary portrait of a young woman from the Denisovans early humans who scientists know little about. And this photograph, Stone, if you could scroll down just a hair. They remain one of the most elusive groups of humans to have walked on the earth. Evidence from DNA traces left by Denisovans show they lived on the Tibetan Plateau, probably traveled to the Philippines and Laos in South Asia, and might have made their way to northern China more than 100,000 years ago. They also interbred with modern humans. What Denisovans looked like or how they lived has remained a mystery. However, only a few jaw fragments, a few bits of bone, and one or two teeth provide any evidence of their physical characteristics. Their DNA, which is found in samples from the Denisova cave in Siberia in 2010, provides... Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know they were found in Laos and all over. I just thought it was Russia. So in Siberia, that provides most of the information about their existence. Bone fragments. They're able to make this out of just a few bones. But recently, scientists have pinpointed a strong candidate for the species to which the Denisovans may have belonged. This is Homo longi, or the dragon man. From Harbin, northeast China, this key fossil is made up of almost a complete skull, with a brain case as big as a modern human's and his flat face with the delicate cheekbones. Dating suggests it's 150,000 years old. Now we believe that the Denisovans were members of the Homo longi species, said Professor Zhong Ni of the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing last week. The latter is characterized by a broad nose, thick brow bridges over its eyes, and large tooth sockets. The possible Denisovan Homo longi link is one of several recent developments by researchers working on these humans with whom Homo sapiens shared the planet for hundreds of thousands of years. Mm. It is even thought that they could have played a key role in our own evolution. Scientists in Tibet have discovered a Denisovan gene in local people, the result of interbreeding between two species in the distant past. Crucially, this gene has shown up to help modern men and women survive through high altitudes. Interesting. In addition, evidence to support Denisovan Homo longi link has also been traced to the Tibetan Plateau, where scientists beginning studying a jawbone initially found in a remote cave 3,000 meters above sea level by a Buddhist monk who kept it as a relic. Wow. Hmm. Imagine how much weird stuff there are in those Buddhist monasteries.
Yeah.
That are super remote. I mean, China kind of runs all those now. It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
The invasion of Tibet was a real... You know how much information and how many scrolls they burnt?
Yeah.
When they took over Tibet?
Yeah.
It's really sad.
And I think just the countless times in the entire world that that's still... Like, how much information has been destroyed of all just like...
You don't think there were records of Denisovans and all Homo floresiensis and all these groups? You don't think they didn't know about that, or that somebody had wrote about that in the Library of Alexandria or whatever it is?
Yep.
Of course they did.
And you know, something I always wonder is, not to trail off here, but what we misinterpret as like historical evidence of something, of like, oh, look at this story of these things and these beings or whatever, and that must have been how it was. And I always kind of wonder at the back of my head, I'm like, is this actually just past human creativity?
Yeah.
Like, have we always been good storytellers? And,
yeah.
And, you know, because it's like, what's to say?
That
like,
was TV.
My thought is always like a really stupid one, but like, if thousands of years from now, you know, somebody finds a DVD copy of Transformers and then they find a way to watch it, and they're like, wow.
Shia LaBeouf.
And they're like, wow, back in the history, the giant robots were here and destroyed past humans. It's like, where is the line there of when things like that don't get destroyed and do get passed down? I'm like, how much of that is actual creative story by past humans who we, I think, maybe sometimes believe are not as creative as we are.
Yeah.
But it's like, what was their version of creativity, right? Mm-hmm. What were some of these stories that they would have told? And what's
the difference? How many stories didn't make the Bible?
Right.
Tons of books didn't make it into the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't fit, you know, what the Romans were trying to do.
Yep.
It didn't fit the narrative of I think, you know, what the story of all, of everything became.
Right.
So.
But yeah, I think at some point... in thousands of years from now, if there's another great reset and some crazy things happen, who's to say that someone doesn't find a DVD copy of Transformers and is like, look, I found historical evidence.
And somehow they were able to play it.
And they find a way to play it and they're like, my God, giant robots are the ones that wiped us out.
Yeah, they find like a old DVD player in a dollar store somewhere and somehow it works.
And somehow there's thousands of years, there's new versions of us on a podcast and the article is ancient disc found with proof of robotic war.
Yeah.
That happened in 2008.
Just learned how to read it, reread the disc.
Yeah, they just accessed the information.
It's like opening the spaceship door.
Exactly. Exactly.
They figured out how to open the spaceship
Everything's door. Just a returning cycle, just recycles everything.
Yeah. Man, a lot to sink your teeth into tonight, guys.
I love that there was a lot of UFO talk. That was like everything kind of flew from one thing to another there.
Yeah, like I said, I really, I watched the last season of Skinwalker Ranch. So it's kind of, that was like, a few weeks ago when I finished that. And then I watched Beyond Skinwalker Ranch because I'm just trying to understand, are these shows bullshit?
It's
from what I can tell, yeah. Brandon Fugel seems pretty legit.
He
seems like a pretty decent human being.
And this is a whole other conversation, but and I'm sure you have this same thing. But working in the world of video production, it's so hard to watch reality TV shows or anything nearly. Yes, I can still get lost in a movie and love the art of it and everything, but especially reality TV shows, documentary series of those kind. I'm like, man, I know how this is made.
Yeah.
And so you catch the...
Now, they do create some drama.
There's some
liberties that are...
Our pizza's more than 30 minutes
late. Well, you know how they, right before they exit to commercial.
Yeah.
There's always that like cliffhanger thing or shadow that moved like in those Ghost Hunter shows.
Yes.
And then they come back from commercial. And it's like, oh, that was just, Joe in the other room.
Yeah,
100%. We thought it was footsteps.
It's always the cliffhanger to not change the channel.
So there's stuff like that they do to kind of, But I think what they're capturing is real.
Yeah.
If you look at Travis, the head scientist out there, and a lot of those guys came in just like all the NID scientists that Robert Bigelow hired.
Mm-hmm.
None of those guys believed in UFOs, Bigfoot, aliens, cryptids, nothing. Those guys were hardcore skeptical scientists. When they left, they were baffled. A lot of those guys wouldn't talk about it for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're having those guys back to the ranch in the series to talk to them about their experiences at Skinwalker Ranch when they were working for Robert Bigelow.
Yeah.
They're getting some of those guys back to tell them, hey, we experienced this too. So you have a lot of stories that are overlapping that are very similar. Just some of the stuff that they're capturing. But I think the footage is real.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff they're capturing, the high-speed photos, the LiDAR, the GPR stuff they're doing. The guys that they have out are subcontractors. They'd be like, you own a LiDAR company and you're just some dude that you get called in on Skinwalker Ranch.
Right, right.
They have the drone team that did the Odessa and the Grateful Dead tours where they have the drones fly up, 200 to 300 drones, and they create 3D images. They all have lights on them.
Oh, interesting.
And they fly in synchronicity and create images up in the sky during concerts and events.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had this crew out there. And they're like, we've never had these drone batteries last forever. We've never not gone through an entire show. Within 5 minutes, the drones are falling. They're dropping out of the sky and landing, returning. They all have GPS devices on them. And they're returning home. They're like, this never happens.
And
so every expert they have.
That's cool.
They come out there. Their cameras die. Their batteries die. Their data's messed up. They're just like, we've never seen this.
Yeah.
And they're just dudes
running
a LiDAR company.
Yeah.
What does that guy have to lose? You think he's up there cooking the data of his LiDAR system to make it?
Right.
So, like I said, what they're capturing, I think, is real.
Mm-hmm.
Does the show take liberties for dramatic purposes?
Some fluff around it.
Of course. Right. But you guys should go check it out. It got me, hey, what's going on right now with all the UFO, UAP stuff? So
mm-hmm.
it's been on my mind. Found a couple of those. Wanted to share that stuff with you guys tonight. You guys rule. Ross, you rule.
Thank you for having me.
So much for hanging out.
I will continuously tell you, I'm always down to come hang.
Absolutely. Always. And much love to all you guys hanging out with us tonight. You guys are great. Everybody listening, Spotify, Apple, YouTube Music is popping up. Google Podcast, by the way, has not gone away. Out of all of the messages we've been getting, I'm still getting downloads in Google Podcasts all the time.
Yeah, so that's been popping up in pocket. Like, if you're listening to this on Google Podcasts, it's going to shut down soon.
I'm never shut down.
It's only that for a year.
You guys are all listening to Google Podcasts. Keep going until it's gone or anywhere else. Keep rating, sharing. Sharing is huge. Liking. It really does help the algorithm. It really does.
1,000,000%.
It helps push everything that we're doing. The social media stuff, we've got a whole chunk of YouTube shorts and other stuff that we've been working on. We're getting ready to blast out a whole bunch of things on TikTok, Instagram. So if you guys follow our social medias, and we've got some cool stuff coming out. We got some big plans for some even bigger projects coming up. We're going to hold on to that for right now. Ross? Where can we find you? How can we connect with you?
Yeah, if you want to find me personally and all the millions of things that we talked about earlier that I do, you can follow me at Ross Tyson. That's Tyson is spelled T-H-E-I-S-E-N. If you're looking for more podcast stuff, but you want maybe more serious life talks where I interview people about their life stories who do interesting things, might not be as interesting as UFOs in the sky or cryptids in the woods or something like that, but interesting life stories nonetheless. That's What You Don't Hear Podcast. It's at W-Y-D-H pod. But yeah, if you follow me, that'll send you down a rabbit hole of about the billion different creative things that I do. So it'll all be there at Ross Tyson.
There you go. There you go, everybody. Much love. Special thanks to Stoner and Disbro and Master Control. Hopefully it's not too hot in there, boys. I've been keeping an eye on the clock. I don't want you burning up in there. We need you. Big shout out to Bub. Hope he's having a great time. And Stoner's dad, what's happening, man? How are you doing? I see you, Heather, chasing mound builders. Again, big shout out to Born Not to Run. Cess in the City, what's happening? All One saying, what's happening? Mr. Burton Moran, all you guys out there listening, watching, we appreciate you so much. We've pumped the brakes a little bit, but we're not going away. We have so much stuff coming up, working on a more of a deep dive type episode that I've been working on. I'm gonna keep the wraps on that a little bit.
It's fun. Okay.
But the more and more I dig into this subject, it's going to have to be like a three-parter.
Love it.
I don't know how I'm going to get around it.
Love it.
So, keep an eye out for that. All the social media stuff will keep you up to date on everything we got going on. Peace, love, and chicken grease to all. Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.